Just as you promised. And receiving God's heart starts with surrendering to His Son. Amen? You're not going to get God's best unless you surrender to Him. Hallelujah. And a Savior, excuse me, a Savior so dear deserves love that is clear. I like that. I have a collection of sayings and different things. Well, praise God. You excited about today? Yes. Are you in love with the Lord?
Amen.
You know, we're here because we love God. And nothing is going to change me from loving God. God has the first place in my life. That doesn't mean that I always do everything that I need to do or should do. But one thing I've learned, I'm quick to repent and quick to forgive. Say that with me. Say, I'm quick to repent and I'm quick to forgive. Amen. Just like God. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to go to Psalm chapter 31. Psalm 31. You know, it's always an exciting time when we begin a new study. We try to follow a theme every month as the Holy Spirit leads and guides. And the theme for this month, I just really felt impressed about celebrating the goodness of God. You know, there's so many people in this world that don't believe that God is good, because they see all the stuff that happens in this world and they say, how can God be good? Would a good God send people to hell? Did God send them to hell? People end up in hell because they reject Jesus Christ. He is the ticket out of hell. And He's been given to the world. But our God is good. Say, God is good. God is so good, He puts an extra O on His name and He makes Him good. Amen? He's oh so good. And this psalm here, Psalm 31, verse 19, the Bible says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for them that what? That fear you. Which you have wrought for them that trust in you before the sons of men. I want you to notice that God's goodness is laid up for you. How many have ever, or you have or you're benefiting from some sort of retirement plan, 401k, IRA, whatever. Amen? What is that retirement plan when it is something that is laid up for you, right? And when you get to a certain point, a certain age, then you can start drawing from it. And praise God for the companies that put in along with you. Amen? They have some sort of matching because that doubles your money, increases your money. But that is something that is laid up for you. Amen? And I want you to know that God's goodness is laid up for you. And the way to receive it is to honor Him, to reverence Him, and to respect it. So anytime that you honor God, you can benefit from His goodness. Amen? Anytime that you don't honor God, well, His goodness is still there. And He'll wait for you to repent and make things right. Amen? And then he'll pour it on you. When God pours out His goodness, let me tell you, it's more than enough. It's more than you can handle. It'll exceed what you think or what you expect. Our God can exceed, amen? So what does it mean, goodness? The goodness of God. See, I thought this was a perfect tie-in scripture because last month we talked about the fear of the Lord. And so, you know, I don't want you to be scared, so I wanted to put something good in you, amen? And goodness, it is a praiseworthy character. It is moral excellence. This is according to Nelson's Bible Dictionary. God's goodness consists of righteousness, holiness, justice, kindness, grace, mercy, and love. Those are good things, amen? Righteousness is laid up for you. Justice is laid up for you. And goodness is the sum total of all the characteristics of God. It's part of His nature. Say it with me again. Say, God is good. Say, the devil is bad. But God is good. Amen. He is good. He is the supreme benevolence. I love that. That's from Unger's dictionary. God is the supreme benevolent one. That means there's no one better. And this is going to be bad English. There's no one gooder. Amen? But I know that that's bad English, so I preface that. But you know, sometimes I may not say it right or speak it right, but you got to know my heart. Amen? Sometimes the words don't always make it out like they should or the way they should. Or sometimes I just say the wrong thing. Sometimes that happens. But God is abundant in goodness. Oh, He's abundant. You know, God's not going to run out of goodness. His goodness is forever. God was always good, is always good, and always will be good. And that means He'll be good to you. You're gonna leave today knowing that God is good. Amen? And the beauty of knowing that God is good, I'm just going to let Him show you how good He is. I mean, I could say all the things about God's goodness that I could, and I've never been without anything to say about God. Amen? But God is good. And He is the source of all goodness. And let's just go to Psalm 16 for a minute. We're right here in Psalms. Go to Psalm 16. Notice what the psalmist said. Verse 1, it says, "Preserve me, O God, for in You do I put my trust." That's key. If you want to benefit from God's goodness, you got to put your trust in Him. And if you've been trusting something else, you got to make a trust transfer. Because you can only trust God alone. Okay? Then he goes, verse 2, "O my soul, you have said unto the Lord, You are my Lord, my goodness extends not unto you, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellence, to the excellence in whom is all my delight." God is the source of goodness. Every good thing in your life comes from God. Every bad thing in your life comes from either you or the devil. Say, "Pastor, why did you have to say you?" Did you know that sometimes we are our worst enemies? Did you know that this flesh body that we live in, it's not accustomed to be putting God first? Our flesh wants to put itself first. And so sometimes there's a struggle. You know, our spirit man always puts God first, but the spirit is living in the body. And it's true that our spirit should become stronger than our body, and our bodies should be controlled by our spirit, but sometimes that's not always the case, is it? Go with me to Psalm 145. You know, sometimes it's just best to let the Bible define itself. Psalm 145. But we better look at verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Do you know what happened when Jesus walked in compassion? When he was full of compassion, he healed people. When he was full of compassion, he forgave people. When he was full of compassion, he delivered people from bondage. God's compassion moves you into action. And that's what I like about compassion. It'll move you to action. He's slow to anger. Aren't you glad that God doesn't get mad fast? Because I don't know about you. I've messed up in my life. Come on now, let's get where the rubber meets the road. We've all messed up. If we had to rely on our own self for salvation, our works would be like filthy rags, the Bible says. But aren't you glad that we don't have to rely on ourselves? We can rely. He's slow to anger. I love that about God. And of great mercy. And then verse 9. The Lord is good to who? All. Does that mean everybody benefits from his goodness? Well, only those that trust him and have faith in him. Amen? God's goodness is available to everybody. It doesn't matter what you look like, where you came from, what your family status is, what your financial status is. God's goodness is to you. But not just like salvation. Is there anybody excluded from salvation? But how come everybody isn't saved? Are they? Because they haven't chosen, they haven't confessed by faith that Jesus is their Savior. But salvation is available to them. It's been laid up for them, it's been given to them, but in order to benefit from it, it's got to be by faith. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And as a result, all your works shall praise you, and O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. I'm telling you, you know, if not one person ever praise God, God's got rocks that are ready to cry out. But because God's goodness is over all his works can praise him. Do you realize that there's no other religion in the world that can say that their God is good? Goodness is an exclusive characteristic of God Almighty, of Jehovah Jireh, of El Shaddai, of Elohim. Amen? And then any other name that you want to use. God's got a lot of names because he's got a lot of characteristics. We serve a big God. We serve a good God. He is for you. He's on your side. He wants the best for you. He thinks about you constantly. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He loves you. He created you in his image and in his likeness. And he wants us to experience his goodness. Go to Psalm 119. 119 in verse 68. And you know, by the time you hear about how good God is, you may not be able to hold back your praise. Did you hear me? I mean, God just might download a revelation of how good he is, and you just may have to shout. You may not be able to contain it. I encourage you, shout. You may feel so good you got to run around the sanctuary. I say run. Amen? Psalm 119, verse 68. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. God is good and God does good. See, when you're good, good things happen. Amen? You know, the Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were sick and oppressed of the enemy, for God was with him. Jesus came to show us the goodness of God, the patience of God, the long-suffering of God. He came to show us the will of God. Did Jesus ever mistreat anybody? They couldn't even find fault with him. Pilate couldn't even, there wasn't enough evidence against Jesus that he wanted to crucify him. He said, I wash my hands of this. But he succumbed to the pressure of the people who were inspired by, motivated by a demonic spirit. Crucify him, crucify. Who do you think was behind that? The devil. The devil cannot stand God's goodness. He is against God's goodness. He doesn't want you to experience God's goodness. He'll try to hinder you from tapping into God's goodness. But guess what? He can't win. If you want to tap into God's goodness, you can. And the devil can't stop you. Let me just say this. You don't mind a little side journey, do you? How many know the story of Legion? The man from Gadara, Jesus pulled up along the shore of Gadara. And there was a man who was possessed. And he would live in tombs. They tried to chain him, but they couldn't chain him. And he would scream. He would cut himself. He probably never took a bath or used a comb. Are you getting the picture? And then all of a sudden, when Jesus got out of the boat and walked on that shore, you know what that possessed man did? He ran to Jesus and worshiped him. Why? Because every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. You better do it sooner than later. You realize you have an allotted time. Your life, my life, is like a vapor. It's here and it's gone. And what you do while you're here sets the stage for your eternity. Eternity doesn't begin when you die. It begins when you live. And when you leave this earth, you can go to one of two places. You can go to heaven. But in order to do that, you've got to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. To accept Jesus Christ as Lord means that it's not just a statement you make. It's how you live. It's what you do. It affects every area of life. You cannot say that Jesus is Lord and live like the devil. And there'll be people who reject Christ. Because there were two thieves on the cross with Jesus. One accepted him, one did not. One had a place reserved for him in paradise, one did not. But don't think that you can wait to your deathbed and then accept Christ. You might, but you don't have a guarantee. So you better accept him now, and you better live for him now. Because how you live for the Lord now, he's going to review. Because God gave us this life, and we're simply stewards of the life that we've been given. We're simply stewards of what God wants us to do, whether or not we do his will or not. But we have a good God. Amen? Nobody else could be as good and provide a way of salvation like our God did. God came himself as a man. Listen, we messed up creation, but God was so good that he put on a flesh suit. And he walked this earth. He felt what you feel. He went through what you go through. He knows every temptation because he faced every temptation. The only difference is he said no to every temptation. Our God is good. Go to Psalm 86. See, the goodness of God is always associated with praise. Every time God did something good, there's always praise that follows. That's why you find a lot of about the goodness of God in Psalms. Because you know, what we do here at VCF has eternal value. We preach the gospel. Amen? And we are here to honor the word of the Lord. In Psalm 86, verse 5, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to" what? Notice, he's ready to forgive. He's ready to give. He's plenteous in mercy unto all them that what? All you've got to do is call to Jesus when you need mercy. What's his number? You don't have to store it in your cell phone. You don't have to write it down. It's J-E-S-U-S. Everyone who calls on him shall be saved. Amen? When you're in trouble, if you call on me, I will deliver you. You talk about instant messenger. The minute you call upon God, his presence shows up. Because his presence is here. He's everywhere. He's here by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Now, just because he's everywhere doesn't mean he's manifesting himself everywhere. See, he manifests himself where faith is. Let me just give you another illustration. Okay, we're going to turn left and then we'll come back. Jairus was a ruler of a synagogue. He had a high position. And he came to Jesus and he worshiped him because his daughter was near death. And he said, "Jesus, if you come and lay your hands on her, my daughter shall live." Did Jesus say, "Let me think about it"? What was Jesus' response? "I'm going to go." Why? Because Jairus came to him in faith. The Lord goes wherever faith is. And while they were on their way to Jairus' house, along the way, there was a woman who also had faith. And Jesus didn't even touch her, but she touched him. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be made." She was dealing with this thing for 12 years. Spent all the money that she had on doctors, and she didn't get any better. And what seemed like an interruption, it wasn't, because Jesus was simply following faith. He manifests himself where people believe in him and trust in him. Amen? And the woman got healed. Then by the time they got to Jairus' house now his daughter had died. And they were coming out, said, "Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead." And when Jesus heard that, he turned to Jairus. He said, "Fear not." He said, "Only believe." Say, "Only believe." The only way that you access God's goodness is only believe. If you believe in God's goodness, his goodness will be there for you. And Jesus went in, got rid of the people who doubted him, because he said that the daughter sleeps, and they laughed at him. Can you imagine they laughed at Jesus? You can read it in Mark chapter 5. And Jesus went in and he did exactly what Jairus said. Jesus touched her and she lived. That was God's goodness. And Jairus activated God's goodness by his faith, just like you and I can activate God's goodness. See, the devil will lie to you. He will tell you that you're not worthy of receiving goodness because of what you did in your past. Well, you got to understand, he is a liar. He is the father of lies. The truth is not in him. He cannot tell the truth. So you've got to overcome those thoughts And you've got to say, yes, because Jesus died for me, I am qualified to receive his goodness. Because the devil knows that if you come in contact with God's goodness, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How many wanted to eat something that you tasted and it was good and you wanted more? See, when you taste of the Lord and when you find out how good he is, can't just eat one. Hallelujah. Not Lay's, but Jesus. Give me a bag full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can overdose on Jesus. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You will, one taste, and you find out how good he is to you, you're going to want more. And the devil knows if you just have a taste, you're going to want more, and he tries to stop that. But taste. Call out to God. Listen, he'll show up in the fire. He'll show up in the lion's den. Some of you are, it's like you're in a lion's den. It's like you're in a fire. You don't think David had any enemies? You just read the book of Psalms. Or the enemies want to swallow me up. David's boss was pursuing him. And he didn't want to give him a promotion. He wanted to kill him. You know, David was working in the palace and he was, maybe organizing the office of the king. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Saul would pick up his spear and throw it at David's head. And some of you think you got bad bosses. You know. And finally, it got so bad that David had to leave. He put in his resignation. But how many know that because the goodness of God kept David? The Lord is good and ready to forgive. He's ready to forgive. The question is, are you ready to repent and change? He's ready to forgive. But the question is, are you ready to repent? Which means change. Let's move on. Let's look at Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. Are you getting a picture of how good God is? Notice verse 7. Isaiah 63, verse 7. I will mention the loving kindnesses. Is that plural? Of the Lord. The loving kindness, that's another way of saying God's goodness. What's he going to do about the loving kindness of the Lord? What's he going to do? He's going to mention them. He's going to talk about them. Listen, you ought to talk more about how good God is than how bad the devil is. Amen. Listen, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to know that the devil's bad. So why talk about him? The devil can't change. The devil is going to, he's got a seat. He's already been scheduled to spend his eternity by the lake of fire. But God's got a different eternity for you. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be worshiping the Lord. We're going to be learning. We're going to be heading over kingdoms. Amen? We're going to be in a place full of light and joy and wonder. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord. Listen, we ought to be talking about how good God is when we wake up. When we're sitting down for breakfast, when we're at lunch, when we're at dinner, before we go to bed, we ought to be talking about how good God is. I want to magnify in my own life God's goodness. I want to mention his goodness. Oh, by the way, did I tell you how good God is? Oh, by the way, let me tell you how good God is. When you're in a break room and your fellow employees are complaining, you say, well, let me tell you how good my God is. Take that opportunity and tell them how good God is, because they may not know. And someone needs to mention how good God is. That means confess with your mouth. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, kindnesses, and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us. Has he bestowed something on you? And the great goodness toward the house of Israel. Let me tell you, why would so many people want such a small piece of land? They've got countries 4, 5, 10 times the size of them. And guess what? Because God's goodness to Israel protects them and keeps them and sustains them, they can't be invaded for a long time. They were lost as a nation. And God, in 1945, he brought them back to be a nation. He brought them from the four corners of the earth. He brought them back to Israel. Let me tell you something. God's goodness is powerful. Which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Let me tell you something. We haven't even known all the ways that God is good to us. I know that there's been ways that I know that God's been good to me, but then I know that there's been ways that I don't know that he's been good to me. You know, one time I was invited to Canada at Dorman Pollitt's church, and I was speaking there. They were doing a conference on finding your purpose. Fiona was in Tulsa. So Gabriel went with me to Canada. And we had a great meeting. It was a great time. Gabriel got to go out of visit another country. And on the way home, I wanted to take a more scenic route. And so we were going through Ohio, and we were on a 2-lane road. And there was a tractor coming this way. We were going this way. And there was a line of traffic behind that tractor. You know, the tractor was moving slow. So we're driving at 55 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, there was a young high school guy who had just gotten his license. He didn't want to stay in that line anymore. He turned right in front of us. And I hit the brakes, and my quarter panel smashed into his rear panel. My front right tire was blown, and the car wasn't drivable, and we were in Ohio. What are you going to do? You're going to trust in the goodness of God. You know what, Gabriel and I, we were safe, praise God. Number one, we were safe. We managed to, with the car in its condition, we managed to get it off the road onto a side thing there right in front of a house. And Gabriel and I, we got together and we prayed. Now, when the state trooper came, to make a long story short, he was telling me that he would have to take me 20 miles to the next county because there wasn't a car rental place within the area. And then I'd have to try to find, it would have been 50 miles to get to the airport to try to find a rental car. And he could have only taken me to the next county. But Gabriel and I prayed and we trusted in the goodness of God. Wouldn't you know, God sent a tow truck to us that also had a rental company. And he towed our vehicle. He said, I can put you in a vehicle tonight to go home. Praise God for his goodness. I'm telling you, I picked out one of those Chrysler PT Cruisers, And Gabriel and I, even though we came home later, God provided because God was good. He kept us safe. He provided for us. This is what the goodness of God does. It keeps you safe. It provides for you. And let me tell you something. I don't know what it is, but the enemy thinks he can take me out by a vehicle accident, but I got news for him. The goodness of God is my shield and my buckler. He can try, but he will not succeed. And Gabriel and I, we were praising God all the way home. It's the goodness of God. Go with me to Nehemiah 9, and I'm going to close with this passage of Scripture. Of course, Nehemiah was just a little bit taller than Bildad the Shuhite. And you know, in Bible days, they would ask for a grape Nehemiah instead of a grape Nehi. How many know that Nehemiah experienced the goodness of God? He was led by the Lord to rebuild the wall that had been broken down. How many broken down walls do you have in your life that the Lord needs to rebuild? That he needs to put brick upon brick, line upon line. How many shattered dreams do you have in your life? God can rebuild them. It's the goodness of God. Did you know it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance? God can't make you repent, but he can be so good to you, he can love you so much that it'll make you want to repent. It'll make you want to get right. But in Nehemiah, they were assembled together. They had rebuilt the wall in 52 days. God provided for Nehemiah with the king. The king's lumber, the king's timber, the king's army went with Nehemiah. He had passage to get the stuff. He had favor. That's God's goodness. And then they began this service. And if you read about this service, they stood for a quarter of the day in church. Now, how much is a quarter of a day? How many hours? 6 hours. And you think pastor preaches long at two. Aren't you glad I'm not Nehemiah or Ezra? Notice verse 5 of Nehemiah chapter 9. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hush, and whoever else. I'm not going to waste my time trying to pronounce the names. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. I believe someone made a song out of that. Stand up, and bless the Lord your God from everlasting. I won't sing to you either, from everlasting. You got to know what you've been given, amen? Amen? My singing voice wouldn't be a blessing, so I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to preach. I have to make a rap. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Anyway, notice what they begin to do. They begin to bless the Lord. He was telling them to stand up and to bless the Lord. Amen? Bless the Lord. Proclaim his name. His name is his authority. It's above every name. He's got a name that's above every name. Notice, the name of Jesus, it's above every name. Anything that can be named, Jesus is above that. Amen? And so we're supposed to stand up and to bless the Lord. And notice what they say. Lord, verse 6, even you are Lord alone. I love that. He's not Lord with anybody else. And even though he's got three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, he's one God. Hear, O Palmyra, the Lord our God is one God. Amen. Then he says, you have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens, with all their host. You can see God's goodness in creation. the earth and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, that you preserve them all, and the host of heaven worships you. And then he calls about Jesus brings things to life, and you're made in his image and his likeness. And then he talks about Abraham, verses 7 and 8. He established a covenant with Abraham. He made a nation out of one man that was too old. He made a nations when it seemed impossible. Listen, you might be facing an impossible situation today, but it's not impossible for God's goodness. God wants to show his goodness. He wants to show you how good he is. He wants you to be a walking billboard, a walking testimony, to let people know how good my God is. When they see the blessings of God on you, they're going to want to serve him. They're going to want to worship him. They're going to want to praise him. Amen. Oh, if we could just walk and live in the goodness of God. God changed Abraham's name. He changed his destiny, his body, his wife, and his heritage by the goodness of God. Amen? And then he talks about Egypt. We're not going to read all those, but God was good to Israel in Egypt. How many know that God's so good that he gave them 400 years of back wages? Let me tell you something. You may not feel like you're getting paid like you should, but let me tell you something. God knows how to make up the difference. Amen. They served in Egypt for 400 years, and when it was time, the slaves asked their masters for stuff, for raiment, for gold, silver, for jewelry, and their masters gave it to them. God, in one night, made a divine transfer of wealth to his children because of his goodness. Let me tell you something. You may think you're under oppression, but I'll tell you, God will make up the difference. His goodness will make up the difference. And when you're delivered, you'll experience his goodness. You'll walk in his goodness. There was death and everything happening in Egypt, but in Goshen, everything was okay because God's goodness was in Goshen. You could, listen, I don't care what they say about the economy. My trust is in the living God, not in the economy. Amen. I would be a fool to trust the economy. So don't let all this bad news get you nervous. You have a good God. And your good God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and all the taters underneath. All the gold and silver is his. And he knows how to get things to his children because he's good. You know, I can't mention that right now. I'll get there next week. So Nehemiah, this whole chapter 9, they're having a celebration of the goodness of God. They're declaring what God has done, who he is. He is good, and he does good. Amen? Say, God is good. Say, God is good to me. Every day, always, God is good to me. I trust in his goodness to provide for me, to lead me, to protect me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our God is good. He doesn't have a bad day. Our God is not cranky. But if you look at some people, you might think that their God is cranky. Come on. It's because they're not walking in the goodness of God. Anything apart from the goodness of God is selfish, self-promoting. God is not about self. It's about Jesus. Actually, God is about dying to self. You know, the Bible, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd, he feeds, leads, guides, protects, covers, carries the flock when necessary. If one of his sheep is broken down and they can't seem to make it, he'll pick them up and he'll carry them. He'll sleep with the sheep. He'll wake up with the sheep. He protects the sheep from lions, bears, and anything that would try to eat the sheep. That's how good our God is. From everlasting to everlasting. We're also going to see how he's a good Samaritan. When no one else will help you, he will. He's always there for you. He's there to bind up your wounds, you know, because sometimes we get wounded. We get wounded and we're left for dead. And he comes along and he pours in his oil, which is the Holy Spirit, and new wine, which is the Holy Spirit, and the new birth. You know, he can turn your water into wine. Water is representative of salvation. Wine represents the Holy Spirit. You know, you can't get drunk on water, but you can get drunk on wine. You can be intoxicated with God's Holy Spirit. Amen? Our God is good. Which means that our response to his goodness is praise, worship, giving, living, studying, knowing, walking. That's our response to his goodness. Amen? I can get up here every week and I can preach the gospel because my God is good. You know? I'm not trusting in people to meet the needs of this church. I'm trusting in God. And for every person that participates in God's plan, there's blessing. Amen? And if you don't participate in God's plan, there's not blessing. But that doesn't mean that God's going to forsake me. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will be with you. Amen. He's here with you right now. Our God is good. He's righteous. He's holy. He's love. And he proved it in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the essence of God's love. And the essence of God's love is sacrifice. You don't take my life, I lay it down. He laid his life down. Why? So that we could have life. Amen? So God loves to demonstrate his goodness. You know, Nathanael asked, he said, is there any good thing that can come out of Nazareth? Oh, yeah. There's someone who goes about doing good. Listen, God wants to heal you today if you need to be healed. He wants to fill you today if you're empty. He wants to love you today if you don't feel loved. He wants to help you do what you've been created and called and designed by him to do. You can't do what he's designed you to without him. You could try. There's a lot of people that do, but in the end of their life, it's all about them. I just want you to know that God is good today. And he wants nothing but good for you. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's plentiful in mercy. And maybe next week we'll get to Psalm 103 and we'll talk about the good benefits that he has because of his goodness. Amen? So what we need to do first is stand up and bless the Lord from everlasting to everlasting. Let's take a moment. Let's bless the Lord. Amen? Bless you, O Lord God Almighty. creator of heaven and earth. We bless you, Lord, our loving Father, our gracious Savior, our powerful bless Holy Spirit. Lord, oh, we bless you, Lord, with everything within us. Bless your holy name. We praise you. We lift you up in this place, Jesus. We release you to do the works that you came to do. In the name of Jesus. What I need you to do is share the goodness of God in your sphere of influence. You just tell people how good God has been to you. Amen? You know, one of the great ways to receive healing is minister it to someone else. Give in what? It. So whatever you give, it shall be given unto you. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God will give to you. So your it is Jesus. And when you give Jesus, he's going to give unto you. Amen? I can't fill this church, but I know God can. And if we're all working together, amen, God's going to touch the people. He's going to use you to do it. That's something about the goodness of God. Tony, I just need you to step out here, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord.